It's time for the Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
Looking, shoots it for the end zone. Intercepted, A.J. Terrell.
All the highlights and interviews you need from the Dirty Birds.
Fighting all the way through, finding a way to get that win is absolutely outstanding. What we love to do.
The best the Falcons have to offer right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You shall not pass.
Oh, we learned a little bit more, didn't we? Oh. Just stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Abe is in for Mike today. We start off every hour and every day by saying, hey man. You, sir, got up at 3 a.m.? Is that correct? 3 a.m.?
2:59.
Okay.
I had to get downstairs in the 1 minute it took for Netflix to load the show in.
All right. And this show, by the way, the full season is out if you want to go binge it. I'm going to start watching it, I think, tonight or maybe, you know, late night at some point and go episode by episode. Now, I'm not going to be like Abe. I'm not going to stay up all night to watch it. But the cool thing is, and the curious thing is, that it's Joe Burrow, it's Jared Goff, and it is Kirk Cousins. So we're hearing from Cousins and his perspective of certain things that played out last season. This was filmed last season. Camp starts here in just, you know, a week and a half, guys, basically. The 24th, guys, that's our first day of training camp. And I've said this to Abe, and I'll say it to you. From that day on, I'm going to be focused on Michael Penix. I'm going to be focused on the guys that are on the field that I think are going to get us back to the playoffs. But all offseason, we've had this discussion about who was right, who was wrong, whose side were you on? Who did the team wrong? Who made the wrong decision? I don't know if any of that has changed for you. But as we've discussed this today, and if you're just getting in the car, however you're accessing the show, thank you for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. We got to talk about this. So if you're tired of it, if you're frustrated, if you're over it, I understand. But I also understand that we need more clarity. So Abe, let's start first with what you got out of this and what you think we're going to learn as people start to watch this over the next few days, maybe the next week, week and a half, whatever it's going to be, whenever they're able to take this in and say, oh, okay, you know what? I vibe now a little bit more with Cousins, or I'm vibing less with him.
Well, here's what's interesting, because I don't think we learned anything if you were open and honest about the situation at the time. Nothing that Kirk Cousins said or was shown is new. Now, at the time, I didn't know there was a specific hit in the Saints game, right? But I knew there were issues. I knew Kirk Cousins wasn't whole. We later found out about the injury in the Saints, and that was part of the radio row stuff and all that. In my opinion, nothing here is new. It's the first time we've heard it, but we knew. And if you didn't know, you should have known. There was plenty of evidence out there.
Well, what you're assuming is that we knew he was hurt. What we didn't know is his comments about the injury.
Yeah, we did.
It's
the first time we heard it,
we're hearing for the first time now.
It's the first time we heard it. But again, remember, these comments are recorded in a sit-down after the raw footage has been compiled.
Yes, but the...
There's some in-game mic'd up comments, but some of this other stuff... With him looking back after the Chargers loss, I didn't make great decisions with the football. Nothing to do with an injury, but after the fact, you look back and wonder. So in the time, he didn't think it was an injury. Now looking back, you have to wonder. After the win over the Raiders, my body was really not holding up. It was starting to break down. I think the coaches sensed that and felt like physically we can't put this on Kirk. That's a conclusion that should have been made 3 weeks prior. I'm going to stand by that. There's nothing that could have been said or shown, and nothing was, that is going to change my mind about why wasn't this decision made by Raheem Morris after the loss to Denver heading into a bye week. Kirk is going to talk his way through it, and that's fine. Whether he was impacted at a level he was aware of after sitting for a while and thinking back about how bad it was. In hindsight, with the information, this is a quote, with the information I had at the time, I made the best decision. You know, if you sit down and let it heal, because there was a quick discussion of, hey, 2 or 3 weeks, you know, come back. Mm-hmm. And,
which is what should have
you
happened.
You know, if you sit down and let it heal, you may never get your job back. He mentioned directly Doug Flutie in reference to this was something he learned from Flutie. You cannot give that guy behind you a chance. You certainly can't give that guy behind you a chance when he's a top 10 pick. And so you want to blame and yell and be mad at Kirk Cousins. I understand.
Oh, I am.
And I understand why. I do. But I don't know what else you would have expected. If you want to call him selfish, that's fine.
That's one word.
If you want to say that he cost the team the season,
that's another.
That's fine. Sure. And I understand all of those arguments. I'm also sitting here telling you that he's one of 32 quarterbacks that start in the NFL, and none of the other 31 would have done anything different.
I didn't forget how to play quarterback.
Yes, you did.
No, but that's the thing. No, he didn't.
So here's my issue with this. And again, Abe has viewed the entire catalog of this show.
Boy, there was a stretch in there where I was like, this was not worth it. There was a stretch in there.
I could have told you that at 259, but that was your decision. Where's the integrity? Somebody tell me. You denied all year long that you were injured, but yet even when the injury happened, and I'm about to play something for you that you haven't heard. Even when the injury happened, you are like, my arm doesn't feel good. But yet you kept telling us all year long that you were not injured. Where's the integrity? And for me, when you say you were misled by the Falcons, it's false. Because you weren't going back to Minnesota. It wasn't happening. Adolfo Mensah, the general manager there, had made a statement that he was not interested in bringing you back. You thought, hey, I'll get a long-term deal. They wanted to do year-to-year because they weren't quite sure about it. And so this idea, like, if I would have known, I would have went back to Minnesota, that's just not true. And if you ask me, well, he would have went somewhere else, you tell me where. Because there were no additional reports, guys. Trust me. I was on this. There was no additional reports about him going anywhere else outside of Atlanta. And, oh, by the way, we were so all over this, we tampered. So that is false. I don't believe you. I don't believe that. But that's neither here nor there. Here's my issue with this thing. When Kirk Cousins admits during the Saints game, and this is him, I want you to play this, describing getting hit. When you own in the moment, man, my arm hurts, my shoulder hurts, and then 2 weeks later when you're on the injury report and you say it's a clerical error, that's flat-out lying. Where is the integrity? And everybody wants to say he's a stand-up guy and he does all the right things, but all year long you didn't. Let's hear it, O.
Got hit in the second quarter, took a helmet kind of right into my shoulder ribcage area, and immediately my elbow lit up and I knew, you know, I had irritated something. Had a shooting pain kind of right through my inside of my elbow.
My elbow got absolutely rocked by a helmet. I'm all right.
I'm all right.
Hey, I bruised my elbow. I bruised my elbow pretty good, so it was going to help me to just keep it loose throwing.
Gotcha.
So we'll just play catch every now and then.
I'm right here with you.
He knew then.
Who, by the way, that guy's an assistant coach.
Okay.
That he's talking to.
Okay.
Right there. I bruised my elbow.
He's not the trainer or the doctor. He's just saying, okay, cool.
He doesn't have a responsibility to go
no,
tell Raheem,
not
hey,
at
this,
all.
This is what I just found out
no,
from our starting
no,
quarterback.
No, that is the quarterback's decision to say, hey, coach, by the way, let me holler at you for a second. He didn't do that because of the selfishness that you're alluding to. Here's another thing for me. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're just reacting to this information again out of this quarterback's doc. Abe, when he said, and I think this spoke volumes about what the Falcons were trying to achieve and then what ultimately happened. When he said he felt overwhelmed by the offense in Atlanta.
Before the start of week one. No, because you got to play the timeline.
No, no, no.
We're talking about 2.5 months later.
Yes, but you're talking about a guy that's been in the league 13 years.
Sure.
And he comes in and he says, I felt overwhelmed by the offense. For all of you who kept saying, just put Penix in, it's why they wanted him to sit and learn. To throw him into this, and you had a 13-year guy come in and said, oh, I felt a little bit overwhelmed. And then in week one, do you guys know what happened? Abe, describe what happened with the fumble.
Yeah, it was a mistake in not formation, but in cadence and in the order of which you call out motion and the snap. And Kirk Cousins, I don't want to spoil it too much, but he admitted that it was
well,
not everyone's seen it yet.
No, no, we saw the play.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you watched the
Steelers game. how the fumble happened. But, yeah, and you'll see it very early on into the episodes.
He basically says,
he screwed up.
I screwed up. It's my screw up.
And he knew it was going to happen. He was worried about it all week, mm-hmm. that if you make the mistake once, it could cost you. He made the mistake once, and it cost him.
It was a fumble. Here's what he was concerned about. Pre-snap motions and shifts. And I said this earlier in the show. For those who are like, well, what's the big deal? Our offensive coordinator came from Sean McVay. McVay and Shanahan are the two guys in this league that run more motions and shifts than anybody. They want to get movement, guys moved all over the place. They do that stuff like crazy. So Kirk comes in, and he's like, all right, I got to get a grasp of all this stuff. Let me kick the foot. Nope, don't kick the foot. Motion, head bob, motion. He's telling you he was overwhelmed. What do you think Michael Penix would have been in week one, two, or three? This is why they were trying to wait. Learn, learn, learn. I had no issues with it. But then they got to a point where they had to make the decision, and the kid did fine. But this idea, like they just should have threw Penix in, this should tell you from Cousins' own experience that he was having a difficult time
with
this.
I don't understand the argument you're making.
The argument
is, no one's calling for him 3 weeks into the season or week two. We're talking about week 11, week 12.
The argument is there were calls for – as soon as he started to play bad, did everybody want Penix? He should put Penix in. There was a reason why they didn't. That's the point I'm trying to make. And then when they had to, they had to. The real conversation here is, though, and I just – that's a sidebar. That's just one of those things, is that this guy threw 9 picks in 5 weeks. And as he declined, we went from 6-3 to 6-4 to 6-5 to 6-6 to 6-7. And all of a sudden, you had no choice after December 16th, when we barely beat the Raiders, to make a quarterback change December 22nd. Guys, when you look at the totality of this, I ask one question. I don't care what you tell me, Abe. Where's the integrity? That's all I want to know. 404-726-0929. And you, sir, were blaming Raheem Morris solely for not doing his job, and I completely disagree with you.
Well, no. And again, you continue to misconstrue my words, because I tend to agree on a number of factors that you said about Kirk Cousins, and I do think it is partially selfish, and I do think it is certainly me first. I also understand that he's not the only guy with that mindset in the league. In fact, all 32 quarterbacks who are QB1 would do the exact same thing. That's why, to me, it's not on Kirk. It's on a head coach to notice that his quarterback, who we've now seen lead this team to 6-3, is no longer the qualified, quality quarterback capable of winning ball games. And you stuck with him. And he proved it a second time that he wasn't capable of winning ball games. And you stuck with him through the one window you had, a bye week leading into a home game. And you stuck with a guy that threw two games, plus the second half of the Saints game, plus, I don't know, 10 practices, couldn't throw the ball properly.
Oh, he dropped 344 on the Minnesota Vikings.
Great. Go back and watch the highlights. I mean, There's still no zip.
He didn't throw any touchdowns. But he threw 344 and two interceptions. Two picks.
There was a window to make a change. It would have taken a tough decision. It would have taken someone with the guts to make that call. And I was worried about it at the moment it happened. I said,
you know what the guts are? The guts is to stay with the quarterback who's hurt and see and ride it out. That takes guts.
Sticking with $100 million is the easy call.
It's the wrong call. That's changing quarterbacks, that was easy. Sticking it out when you knew, allegedly, if you say that he knew, that's the hard decision.
I find it nearly impossible to have not known. If I saw it, if you saw it, how does he not see it? And I think he did see it, and I think he just didn't make the tough decision, the obvious decision, to go to the rookie.